Welcome to Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey, the podcast where we explore complexities, breakthroughs, and unfiltered realities of lives touched by autism. I'm your host, Ruth Castle, here to guide you through heartfelt stories, expert insights, empowering conversations. Whether you are a parent, a sibling, a grandparent, an educator, or an advocate, professional in the space, this is your space to find community. Ask the hard questions and uncover new possibilities. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey. Today, we are diving into a crucial topic, emergency preparedness. For special needs families, emergencies can happen at any time, whether it's a natural disaster, a car accident, or unexpected situation in public. Having a solid plan can make all the difference in keeping your child safe and reducing stress. Let's talk about how to prepare for natural disasters, car safety, and public outings, and how to make sure emergency responders have the information they need to help you and your child effectively. So if you live in a hurricane zone like I do, or in areas of, prone to blizzards, wildfires, or even power outages, you already know the importance of being prepared, but for families with autistic children, preparation goes beyond just food and water. You want to make sure you have your sensory-friendly kits for emergency that includes those, sometimes noise-canceling headphones, maybe a weighted blanket, or, my son likes his weighted stuffies, and find those familiar comfort items to help reduce stress for the child. My son really is into slime, so I have a slime thing in there, and I also have Play-Doh. I have a lot of his favorite fidgets that he doesn't always get to see in our go bag. Also, you want to keep in mind keeping extra medication, if your family members need medication, making sure that you get those refills before those disasters come. Normally, if you're in an area where you experience, disasters, sometimes pharmacies will fill medications early on, some medications up to 7 days, and be covered by insurance. So please check into, those type of plans for having that in place. In my case, for my son, he has an AAC device. You want to make sure that, you have maybe printed out communication boards in case you don't have electricity where you're not going to have it for a while, that you at least have it. I have a 3-ring binder that has all of the tabs and for him to point to or use a daughter, because I've also laminated them to make it easier for him to communicate in case the battery life runs out on his AAC device. Also making sure you have those different charging devices to charge, in your car, or if you are using a generator. You want to identify sensory-friendly shelters in advance if possible. Do your research on that and really put a plan in place so you're able to really make the most out of, horrible situation. And then keep copies of medical records and emergency information in waterproof folders or on a QR code on the sticker on your child's seatbelt or a medical bracelet ID. So I like to scan all of my documents in, and I have a Google Drive just for my documents. That is one thing I do. I also try to keep all my documents in a fireproof safe and waterproof safe. So having all of that information in one place is very critical. Also, the QR code, when I have one in my car, it makes it nice in case there's an accident and I'm unconscious, it could be scanned and can give the information for my son. Also, on the seatbelt, it definitely helps as well, having his information in there. A car accident is something that none of us really want to think about, but being prepared can make a difference in the emergency situations. Again, having that seatbelt, having the ID for them on the seatbelt, or even for small children, there's car seat IDs that you can have. It gives them some information. At least if you're not responsive, they can still get the information they need for the child, because in my case, my child's nonverbal. He's not going to be able to, you know, really say anything to tell them. So just trying to make these plans and putting them in place will help you in these stressful situations, because, you know, accidents, car accidents can be very stressful. So being prepared will help you alleviate some of that stress in the moment. You know, and if, you know, emergency responders arrive, they'll need to know what the needs are for your child, and this will also help them as well. So use the seatbelt ID tag with your child with the medical information and communication information and behavioral information. Inside ours, it has like a pocket, and I also folded up a communication board in case for some reason in my mind I was like, what if the AAC device gets ejected from the car? You know, at least if, when they pull that all out, I have a short, I like to make vision statements for my son. It's kind of like a little resume, and I put that in there that also says what his favorite foods are, what he can and cannot have, what his abilities are, a little bit about his behavior and what can cause behavior triggers. So it's just like a little resume pretty much about him. And it's a one page little resume, and I have that in there as well. And then the QR code is a little bit more advanced because it has a lot more of his records and things like that that's tied to his Google folder that I keep for him updated. And normally this, you know, is located up by the dashboard. So the key thing is, you know, medical details and emergency contacts and keeping a sensory bag in the car to comfort them with snacks. Having these tools in place can help the first responders understand how to communicate and care for your child in an emergency. So this is very important for those steps. So when we're going out into public, I always address Elijah and myself in the same color outfit. And the why is because if he wanders off, I can immediately describe what he's wearing without hesitation. And you're probably wondering, like, why would I hesitate? Well, I honestly don't know how I would feel if somehow he got away from me. Could I remember what he's wearing? I don't know. And the reason why I say it like that is, you know, sometimes adrenaline's rushing. You're like worried about him. He can't talk. You got all these things going on. And then sometimes those details can just, you know, go away. We'll wear the same shirts and we'll wear the same color pants. And only thing that's different is going to be our shoes. And I could explain the shoes because his shoes, if he has them on, which is a different story for a different day. It's always the same because I have to buy the same pair of shoes over and over, so I can describe those. But, you know, I might forget what shirt he's wearing. I might forget what color his pants is that day. But if I know, I'm like, okay, he's wearing the same outfit that I am wearing. You know, this is a safety precaution that I can do that they can easily look at what I'm wearing and putting out an APB on for him. So that is one reason why we dress a lot alike. And we wear a lot of tie-dye shirts and a lot of like, he's coming out of it, but he was really into Bluey. And I found a lot of Bluey shirts like that were the same shirts, and I would get a bluey shirt and get him the same bluey shirt, and then we would wear bluey. And sometimes we wear just the same color. We have like the same shade of blue shirts and a same shade of green. So we just matched all the time. So that is my why on matching. Also, there's some other public safety strategies that include, you know, like GPS tracking bracelets for safety, within his backpack, an ID tag. I keep a laminated emergency contact card, you know, on me, and it talks about my child. My child doesn't really want to utilize, you know, wearing it yet. I've been trying to desensitize him to wear his tag, but he's not really into that. So I have a laminated emergency contact card that I keep on me in a case of an emergency for us. I'm a little bizarre when it comes to, just being in public. And like, if you're in a store, I have seen some things and it makes me rethink things. One thing I think of is like, what if somehow or something would happen to me while we're shopping in a grocery store and then they can't communicate with him? Like what if the shelf fell down and knocked me unconscious? These are things I think about, and this is why I have that in there. It's not only about me, but also tells about him. And again, I have just seen some things. I've actually seen that happen to a person before. So this is why it's now a fear that, you know, I should prepare for, because obviously that poor person didn't think that a shelf was going to fall on them that day, but it happened. Although they didn't have any children. But my child doesn't communicate effectively, so since he does not, I would not want that to happen to me and have that experience for my child. So this is why I carry that around. What to do if we're separated, you know? I try to think of, like, how it's going to be, you know? I try to bring, you know, reinforcements to help him, you know, like, stay close to me, or fidgets. I'm being very proactive, you know, to not allow him to have escaping, because he does elope, you know, so I do have to, and he's faster than me. He's gotten better about that. But, you know, the snacks and the reinforcements and the actual fidgets, you know, the fidget toys, they do help reduce that anxiety when it comes to certain transitions. So that can definitely be part of your emergency plan when you're trying to mitigate some of those external stress inducers. Now we've covered these areas. It's time to talk about taking some action on this. So you can start by downloading my free emergency preparedness checklist, which will be in the show notes below. And this checklist will guide you on step-by-step in creating a plan and that will be tolerated for your family's, you know, you can tailor it actually to your family's needs. And I've also linked some of my favorite emergency preparedness products, such as the medical ID bracelets and the seatbelt tags and the GPS tracking devices for kids. There's a couple of different ones out there, and I'm going to share one that I currently use and another one that I have been considering, and that's Angel Scent. Sensory-friendly emergency kits, ready-made disaster preparedness kits. Check them out, and using the affiliate links in the show notes, that is a great way to help support the show and the podcast while you're preparing your family for any situation. Thank you for tuning in. If you found this episode helpful, share it with another parent who might need it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps more families find this resource. Until next time, stay safe and prepared.
Today's episode of Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey is brought to you today by LifeWave X39 Patches. As a parent of a child with autism, I'm always looking for new tools that truly make a difference. Since my son has started using the LifeWave X39 patches, we have noticed incredible improvements. More joint attention, less aggression, and a reduction in his autism-related symptoms. I have started using them myself, and they've truly been a game changer for my energy, my focus, and my mood. These innovative patches use light to gently support your body's natural energy flow. For better wellness, try them out today and see a difference in yourself and even your kiddo. So you guys can visit my link below in the show notes to learn more and to support the show. Thank you for tuning in to Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey. I hope today's episode inspired you, brought you some clarity, or simply reminding that you are not alone. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and if you enjoyed this conversation, leave a review and share it with someone who might need it. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your voice matters, and together we can navigate this journey one step at a time.